In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Let us join together in singing the carol, "What Child Is This?" Around the Advent wreath up here tonight, and I want to read to you the prophecy of the light and the lighting of the first Advent candle. The scripture comes from Isaiah chapter 7 and chapter 9. This from chapter 7. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a young woman shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God is with us. And from chapter 9 of Isaiah, these words: "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, thou hast increased its joy. They rejoice before thee as with joy at the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor thou hast broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." And the lighting of the second candle. The preparation for the light is coming. You have in your bulletin the Magnificat, which is said by Mary from chapter 1, verses 46 to 55, and I'd like for us to read it together responsively. "My heart praises the Lord, my soul is glad because of my Savior." "And from now on all people will call me blessed. His name is holy, he shows mercy to all who fear him. From one generation to another, he brought down mighty kings from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He kept the promise he made to our ancestors. He came to the help of his servant Israel. May the Lord bless the reading of his word." As we light each of these candles on the Advent wreath, they all represent a different stage in terms of the revelation of God through Jesus Christ, but in some ways they're also a revelation for each of us in terms of our own lives. Sometimes somebody has to say something prophetic to us. about how God will come into our lives, and sometimes we have to get ready for that. We have the Advent period of time in the church calendar that is really about preparation for Christ's coming. And then there is the coming of the light in the birth of the Christ child. The scripture that we use for this comes from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had borne a son, and he called his name Jesus. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. I want to welcome you here this evening, and just a couple of announcements. One has to do with the offering that we take tonight, and you have an envelope here. It's a joy gift, and there's an explanation of what we use this for, and this is a fund that the deacons distribute during the year, and based upon your giving and how we build that up so that we can take care of people throughout the year. Some of them are members of this church. Some of them are people that we are referred to us from other locations. But you can read this, and the offering this evening will be going primarily to this particular fund that we run ourselves here at the church. Also, we will have regular services tomorrow at 9:15 and 10:45. And since we were iced out last week and did not have church, the Christmas program will be being given this week as our message for the day, and in some ways it may be more appropriate since it is the 25th of December that we'll be doing it. So I want to welcome those of you who are visiting with us. I would like to know how many of you are from out of town. Quite a few of you. Good. You have a place in the message tonight. I won't embarrass you, but I just want you to know you have a place in this message this evening. So let us come before God and give him our tithes and our offerings this night. The fourth candle we light is the light of revelation, which has to do with really coming to understand a little bit that's what's coming your way. I'd like for you to join with me in the reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, which is printed in your bulletin. And as we do this, recognize that we are reading the Word of God. Here we go. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the earth should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Let us join together in singing the carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Light the Christ candle, which we come to recognize what Christ is doing or what God is doing in our lives. Let's see, I have a message this evening that is based upon a very short piece of scripture. I would also like to thank those of you who have been praying for me this week, because last Friday night I slipped on the ice and broke a rib, and I have been in pain and agony now for a week. And so I'm standing up here. I haven't taken any of the really hard drugs since this morning. So one of the things you don't want to do is laugh when you got a broken rib. So that we hope that I won't drool on myself up here, or at least I'll make some sense to you. But I won't be doing any gyrating up here much this evening, because it just doesn't appeal to me at this point. The scripture for tonight's message is 2 Corinthians 9:15. You have it printed, and it's one phrase, and I'd like us to read it together. Here we go. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Now, the message for tonight is as simple as that, so let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would help all of us recognize your presence in our lives and the gifts that you bring. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. There are two points in that one sentence. They are God and the gift. Thanks to the giver and for the gift. The presence and the present. Father God and his gift, Jesus. God is the giver of gifts. Anybody who has come to know Father God is very aware of this truth. He gives us many blessings and gifts in our lives. And too often our problem is we focus in on the gifts rather than appreciating the giver. We like to open the presents that God gives to us, but we fail to appreciate the presence of God in the presence, you might say. We also do it with our family members and our friends. So often we get the presents, but we fail to notice the presence of the one who brings the gift in the first place. Some of us fail to really appreciate the child who draws the beautiful picture and gives it to us as a gift. Some of us fail to really appreciate the spouse who does something special and presents a gift. We fail to appreciate the presence behind the present. Some of us fail to appreciate the parent behind the gift that the parent gives, like the teenager who gets a car but fails to notice the sacrifice of the parent to provide the present. During the Vietnam War, there was a young father whose son was about six, and the father was severely wounded, so he was sent home. And he had to spend over 6 months recuperating and healing in a VA hospital. And during this time, he was unable to see his family except a couple of times. As he healed, he also worked on a wooden toy for his son, who was six, because he was about to turn seven. He spent a great deal of time carving and building a wooden dump truck for his son. So the day came when the boy turned 7 years old, and for his birthday, his mother brought him to visit his father. The father wanted the boy to get the truck outside his window so that he could see the reaction of the boy as he opened the present. So one of the nurses met his wife and boy outside below his window on the second floor of the VA hospital with the present all wrapped up. And the man sat at the window, watching as the boy's eyes got big and he got excited. And the boy took this big present and opened the present with all the excitement of a seven-year-old boy at Christmas. And when he got it out, and his excitement exploded, he started playing with this wooden dump truck. And he ran it up and down the yard. And the nurse and the mother told the boy that it was from his father. And the boy acknowledged their words, but he was totally engrossed in the dump truck. He would run it up and down the yard, and he forgot why they had come to the hospital in the first place. Finally, the nurse took the boy by the shoulders and took his head and turned it to the second floor, where his father sat at the window, and the boy's excitement exploded again, and he took the nurse and his mother by the hand and pulled them towards the entrance of the hospital. He had forgotten all about the little wooden dump truck as he discovered the maker of the truck, the giver of the gift, the presence behind the present. Too often we're like that little boy. In our frenzied excitement over the presence that Father God presents to us, we forgot the presence of God, the Father looking down from the windows of heaven. And as we think about the gift of God, we fail to think about the giver of the gift. In the excitement of Christmas and all of our human stuff, we forget about the giver of the gift. That's why the message is so simple tonight. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. In the excitement of Christmas and all our human gifts, most of the time we forget about the human givers also that give the gifts of their lives to us as well. We fail to appreciate the special people in our lives as we look at the gifts. So there's a double message in this simple sentence in Scripture here. As we open the presents at Christmas time, don't forget the human presence behind the presents. As you receive your gifts, make sure you look upon the givers who stand around as you open the gifts. As you receive the presents that God gives you, make sure you look up at the presence that made the presence that you play with in your life. A missionary who was in Africa had told some Africans about the Christmas story and his missionary work, and also the custom of gift giving at Christmas time, and about those wise men who came. And as he told these stories about this, as Christmas approached, he noticed that one of the villagers just disappeared. And for several days he was gone, and Christmas morning came, and one of the African men came up to the missionary, the one who had disappeared for all these tales, and what he had was a shell of great beauty. He was asked by the missionary, he said, "Where'd you find such a shell as this?" And the man replied that he had walked many miles to a certain bay. And the missionary was struck with the sacrifice of this man, and he said, "My, I think it was wonderful of you to travel so far to get this lovely gift for me." And the man's eyes lit up, and he responded, "Long walk, part of gift." When it comes to some of the people in our lives, let's make sure that we understand the significance of the journey that people make at Christmas. When we view the presents we open, let's remember the presence behind the presents. Long drive, part of gift. Long plane trip, part of gift. Long journey, part of gift. Long walk, part of gift. When it comes to the gifts of the givers, sometimes 90% of the gift is just showing up. As we look at the gifts and the givers around us, let us not forget the gift and the giver, and that's a capital G. God's long walk as he came to bring salvation and life to us, he gives us the gift of his Son. We don't deserve it, and there are no strings attached. Jesus is the gift of God's grace to us. Wrapped up in the gift is the giver. Wrapped up in the presence is the presence. The greatest gifts are not things, but the living, unique people who give them. The greatest gift is the unique and living gift of God's presence in our lives, whose name is Jesus. When Jesus is present, all the little gifts of our daily existence take on greater significance because of the presence of Jesus. For God's great gift is related in all of our small gifts on earth when we give them and receive them in love. When Mary received the gift, the gifts of the wise men who traveled from the east with their gifts of frankincense and myrrh and gold, she probably said something like, "My, I think it was wonderful that you traveled so far to bring these expensive gifts for my child." And I can hear one of those wise men say, "Long walk, part of gift." It's my desire as I live each day to present each day as a gift to Jesus. When I reach the end of those days and my walk here on earth, then I can say to Father God, "Long walk, part of gift." Have joy with gifts this Christmas. Don't fail to notice the presence behind the presents. As you open the gift, take notice of the giver. As you celebrate the gift of Jesus, make sure you look up at the Father who sent the gift. Let's pray. Lord, help us to be aware that the greatest gift is the gift you sent to us. And the greatest gift we have to give to you is our walk here on earth to be your people and to be a witness for you in this world. So when we come to the end, we can also say, "Long walk, part of gift." In Jesus' name, amen.